Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a moonlit jungle pad in Ableton Live 12, and not just any pad. We're taking a clean atmospheric chord bed and turning it into something gritty, moody, and alive, like fog rolling through a broken streetlight while the breakbeats slam underneath. The big idea here is simple. In drum and bass, the pad is not decoration. It's atmosphere, tension, and glue. It can fill the space between snare hits, create width above the drums, and make a drop feel much bigger without stealing the low end from the kick and sub. So our goal is to distort the pad in a controlled way, then shape it so it supports the groove instead of washing over it. First, start with a musical source. Use Wavetable, Analog, or Operator and build a pad that already has some movement before we add any distortion. A soft saw and triangle blend works really well. Keep the voicing open and aim for something like a minor 7, sus 2, or add 9 flavor. In this style, you want emotional tension, not crowded harmony. Give it a longer attack and release so the chord changes breathe. If the pad has no shape before distortion, the processing will just smear it. The more musical the envelope, the better the distortion will feel later. Now clean up the low end before you do anything else. Put EQ8 after the synth and high pass somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz, depending on how thick the source is. If it feels boxy, make a wide cut around 250 to 450 Hz. If it already has harshness in the upper mids, tame that a little too. This step matters a lot, because distortion multiplies whatever you feed into it. If you distort a full range pad without cleaning it first, you'll usually end up with muddy low mids that fight the kick, snare, and bass. Next, think of distortion as a stack, not a single move. Start with saturator. Add a few dB of drive, turn soft clip on, and keep the output level under control. That first stage is just to thicken the harmonics and give the pad some heat. If you want more character, add roar next and use it gently at first. Focus on mid-range coloration rather than full-spectrum destruction. You want the pad to feel burned, not obliterated. If you prefer a rougher edge, drum boss can work too, but keep it restrained. A little crunch goes a long way on a pad. Here's a good mindset for this sound. Think moonlight on rusted metal, not an explosion. We're after texture, not chaos. Once the distortion is in place, add motion. A static distorted pad gets old fast, especially in a genre where the drums are already doing so much rhythmic work. Use auto filter and automate the cutoff over 8 or 16 bars. During a build, slowly open the filter so the pad gains energy. Then, as the drop lands, close it back down a bit so the pad doesn't crowd the snare and bass. You can also use resonance lightly for a more haunted, formant-like feeling. If you want more hands-on control, put the pad inside an instrument rack and map key parameters to macros. Cutoff, drive, chorus depth, and reverb size are all great choices. That gives you a performance-style control surface for tension and release. Now let's talk width, because this is where a lot of pad sounds either become huge or become a mess. DNB is very sensitive to phase and mono compatibility, so don't just crank width and hope for the best. Keep the low end centered. Let the upper layer be wide if you want stereo air, but protect the middle. A smart approach is to split the pad into two rolls, a narrow body layer and a wider grit layer. The body stays stable and centered, while the grit gives you movement and atmosphere. If you're widening the sound, check it in mono often. If it disappears or gets thin, back off the width and rely more on harmonics than stereo tricks. At this stage, it's worth treating the pad like a layer stack, not one sound. That's a very advanced habit. One layer can handle tone, one layer can handle grit, and another can handle movement. When each part has a job, you can automate them independently and keep the mix cleaner. Now for the fun part, resampling. This is where the pad becomes more than a synth preset and starts acting like arrangement material. Freeze the track, flatten it, or resample it to a new audio track. Once it's audio, slice it up and experiment. Reverse a few hits for tension, nudge sections into the groove, or chop the pad into tiny fragments that answer the snare pattern. In a jungle or rollers context, even a one-bar pad chop can become a rhythmic response to the break. That's a great way to make the texture feel intentional instead of just floating in the background. A really useful move is to print a version of the pad after saturation, then another after heavier distortion, and maybe a third after final resampling. Those printed stages can behave like different instruments across the track. One version can live in the intro, one can hit in the drop, and one can appear as a transition texture. That kind of commitment makes your arrangement feel more alive. The pad also needs to breathe with the drums. Sidechain compression is the obvious choice, but you can also use gating or rhythmic amplitude dips for a more broken, less obvious pulse. If you sidechain it from the kick or a ghost trigger, keep the release fairly short so it pumps subtly, not like a four-on-the-floor EDM pad. You want the pad to leave micro gaps for the snare crack, ghost notes, and hat chatter. If you want something even more syncopated, use a gate keyed from a 1/16 or 1/8 pattern. That can make the pad feel like it's lidding inside the break rather than floating above it. Now automate the energy across sections. This is huge for D&B arrangement. In the intro, keep the pad wider and cleaner. In the build, increase drive and open the filter. As you approach the drop, reduce the reverb and tighten the low end. During the drop, keep the pad darker, shorter, and more controlled so it supports the groove without competing with it. Then in the breakdown, let it bloom again. Reopen the stereo image, bring back some reverb, and let the harmonics spread out. The emotional shift between sections is often what makes a tune feel pro. A useful advanced trick is to automate distortion in short bursts at the end of phrases. Instead of keeping the drive constantly high, push it briefly on fill bars or transition bars. That creates tension right before section changes, and it sounds more musical than just leaving everything slammed all the time. Finish by routing the pad to its own group or bus. Use a EQ8 for final cleanup, maybe a little glue compressor if the resampled chops are spiky, and utility to manage mono compatibility and width. Then do the most important test of all. Listen to the pad at low volume, with a full breakbeat and sub playing. If it still feels moody, connected, and useful, it's probably balanced well. If it only sounds good soloed, it may be too bright, too wide, or too dependent on reverb. Remember this. The best D&B pads often don't scream for attention. They sit underneath the groove and make the whole track feel deeper. When you mute them, the track suddenly feels smaller. That's when you know the pad is doing real work. So the workflow is, start musical, clean the low end, distort in stages, add movement, protect the center, resample the interesting parts, and make the pad breathe with the breakbeats. Do that, and your pad stops being background ambience and starts becoming part of the track's identity. For your practice, try building three versions from the same source. Make one atmospheric and wide, one gritty and tighter, and one resample texture version for fills and transitions. Keep them all able to sit under a breakbeat without fighting the kick or sub. If you can do that, you've basically built a flexible moonlit jungle pad system you can use across intros, breakdowns, and drops. That's the sound, dark, humid, hypnotic, and just a little bit unsafe.